In early 2018, my husband and I realized that in order to have biological children, we would have to do in vitro fertilization, or IVF. So we met with an incredibly cold genetic counselor who must have read our file before we met with her, and she started off, okay, well, your options for having children are to not have them. And then she paused. She said, or you could adopt. And then she paused for even longer. She said, or you could get pregnant naturally and then test the fetus after 10 weeks and abort if needed. And then she paused for the longest amount of time and said, or you could do IVF. So my husband and I decided, okay, well, we're going to do one cute little egg retrieval. And then we're just going to use all of the embryos that we get from that egg retrieval, and we'll have as many kids as we want. We'll just keep pulling them from the freezer and over the course of years, and that'll be it. So when they teach you about IVF, what they don't share with you is the odds. So we started off in this class for people starting IVF, and they have all these needles and medicines and diagrams of a belly and a butt that you get to take home so you can mark an X of where you put the shots. And we're sitting there with all these boxes of medicines that I would come to know really well, but at the time just looked like jumbles of letters. And we, you know, go through everything that we need to do for insurance, and we send off our saliva and our blood and like someone's dog's hair, and we get through all of that, and then we just have to wait for my period so that we can go in and start our cycle, our one cycle. So we start the process, and every night Chaz has to give me injections into my belly, and you do that for about 2 weeks. So every night you pick a certain time because your body needs to receive the hormones at like even intervals. So we do our injections, and you do that for 2 weeks or so, give or take a day or two. And then throughout those 2 weeks, you go every other day or every third day to the office, and you have a vaginal ultrasound where you're sitting in a room with the doctor and the nurse, and there's a screen, and you look at your hopeful little eggs, and the doctor measures them and then counts them and writes everything down. So it's really conducive to work. So I would always often be the first one there, third one there, because they would let us in, and then at 7, that's when the appointment started, but at that time it was first come, first serve, so all these women just lined up in the hallway, silent for some reason, because IVF is supposed to be private, which is, as you can see, what I abide by. we do our procedures, and about midway through those 2 weeks, you switch one medicine out and change to another one, and then when your eggs are large enough to be retrieved, you do a trigger shot a certain number of hours before the retrieval, and then you go in for the retrieval. I do know that that number of hours is specific because I'm getting there, but the time that we didn't do it correctly because they miscalculated due to daylight savings time, I ended up in the emergency room the next day. But I'm okay. So after the eggs are retrieved, Chaz would make a deposit down the hall. And then, while I'm still like coming out of anesthesia and like asking for Famous Amos and apple juice, which is not a really good combination, they're making your embryos right just doors away. So you're coming out of anesthesia and you don't know if this is real life, and they're like, okay, we retrieved this many eggs. A conversation sometimes I didn't remember. And when I did IVF, a woman sheds one egg a month typically, so I would be giving up 2 to 3 years of eggs each time. So our embryos, in our case, because we were doing this for genetics, would be sent off to California with little microscopic suitcases, and they would be tested. And then if you have anything that's usable, then you can prepare for implantation, which involves putting estrogen patches all over your abdomen and getting your uterine lining ready. So after you do a few days of that and you have like this gunk all over you that doesn't come off with soap, then you add in a 22-gauge needle that goes right in your ass cheek. And then you go in for implantation, which you get to be awake for. So Chaz and I would be in the room with the doctor, and you watch on the screen, and there's your... I'm not good with female anatomy. One of the parts, and you watch a little poof, and there's this white light, and that's the fluid that contains your embryo or possibly your child. And then you have to go in with a full bladder, so you get to pee after that, and you're like, it's gonna fall out, and they're like, no, it's really not. But it's like, you know, months of effort and like years of hope, and you're just afraid it's about to fall out into this, you know, fluorescently lit toilet. So following the implantation, you have this horrible thing called the 2-week wait. Don't Google it. There's a lot of heartbreak. So there's 2-week wait yoga, and 2-week wait meditation, and 2-week wait poetry, and 2-week wait lose your fucking mind. So when you get to the end of that, you know, hopefully it ends the way you want it to. And the reason that I am standing up here and able to explain this process to you so intricately is because between 2018 and 2022, I underwent 8 egg retrievals. We did 8 implants. I had 2 miscarriages, 1 vanishing twin, and 4 implants that didn't take at all. One time they put 2 embryos in, but one was still stuck in the catheter, and the doctor said, oh, that hasn't happened in 9 years. I was like, oh, that's instilling confidence. And at the end of all that, before I came here, I had to find childcare, because I said goodbye to my 4-year-old son, Arlo. And my twin 1-year-olds, Lincoln and Kendall. And so even though they don't start with the odds when they tell you about IVF, it's really hard to also imagine the possibilities. Thank you.